So Illimity
underground.
Gold is focused on developing oxide gold projects in the US, specifically in the Great Basin. We have two assets, Black Pine in southern Idaho and Goldstrike in southern Utah. Black Pine is our flagship asset and where the vast majority of our efforts are currently focused. And that's the one that where we completed a pre-feasibility study. We're now in feasibility study, driving that through development, which is that sort of middle period that you refer to in the Lassonde curve, to get us to a construction decision in 27, and then construction in 28, operations in 29. And we would have first metal production in December 28, so some nine months later.
Yeah, okay, to all my viewers and listeners, that is music to my ears, and there's multiple reasons for that, but one of the questions I typically ask a CEO of a company that I'm interviewing is, where are you going to process the metal? Do you need to build a mill? Are you shipping it to a mill? What John just said, they're doing it, correct me if I'm wrong, John, they're doing it on site. They don't need to build a mill because they're heap leaching it. That's going to save about $350 to $500, $600 million. If you could name drop some of those people, tell me how much cash you have in the bank, and is this project fully funded for 26?
Course I can, Andy. So I would direct your listeners to our Q3 financials. We published those day before yesterday on Monday. The bottom line is we are fully funded to a construction decision at the end of 27. And the
So
way
2 years out, you are fully
two
funded
years
for 2 years
out, we are
out.
fully funded.
That's
Fully
what I want to
funded to
know.
take Black Pine
Fantastic.
all the way through.
John Gilligan, Liberty Gold, good morning to you, my friend. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. I'm very well, thank you, mate. From a cold morning in Toronto, so I'm happy to be here.
Well, I'm happy that you're on, and it's a cold morning here in Atlanta here. No rest for the weary. Let's get right to it. Let's actually start with some news here, and then we'll go 30,000 foot. You just had some news hit today. Tell me about that, and tell me why your stock is it's doing well right now.
Yeah, thanks very much, Andy. So we came out today with the sort of the formal advice to the market that we've started our feasibility study, the engineering piece of our feasibility study. We've appointed a very strong multidisciplinary engineering team to support us in that endeavor. M3 Engineering out of Tucson are our lead engineers. They did the pre-feasibility study for us, and now they're going to roll into the feasibility study. And we've got a series of other engineering groups that do the various disciplines, the mine planning, the geotechnical engineering, the heap design. And so we announced that team today. And we had originally planned to kick off the engineering phase in December, but the team did a really good job. We went out and did a full sort of view of the market. I think we sent out bid invitations to 60 individual engineering firms, and we went through a really detailed process and landed on the group of, I think it's about seven companies that we're employing to do this. So very happy that we've kicked off engineering. Very happy we've got a really strong, solid team, and we're right on track to produce a very credible feasibility study targeting October next year, October 26 for release of that.
Okay, so let's take us a little step back first before we go to we'll t work this out a little bit more before we go 30,000 foot view. You're doing a pre-feasibility study now. That indicates that you're going to be doing a feasibility study and that your motivation is to take Liberty Gold to a mine. So work me through that if you would.
Yeah, absolutely. So think of it in years. We did the pre-feasibility study. That was done in 24. 2025, where we are now, we've just about completed all of the preparatory field work. So that's drilling in the field, that's more metallurgical sampling, that's water work, geotechnical work. All of that is largely complete and will be complete by the end of the year. And that allows us then to update the resource model. With that updated resource model, which we'll complete this year, we can then start the feasibility engineering per se, which is the sort of detailed design piece that really takes the pre-feasibility design and kind of engineers it a bit more in a bit more precision. That will be done in 26. So 26 is the engineering, feasibility engineering. 27 is the detailed engineering, where you go from that feasibility study down to the actual design drawings that you end up building. That'll be done in 27. And in 28, we will start construction. And our plan for our first metal pour is December 28. So today we are a hair over 3 years, 37 months from first metal.
Got it. Okay, so I want to put a pin in all of that thought, and that's actually, and I want to relate it to all my viewers and listeners to where the Lassonde curve is at. But put a pin in that thought, and John, tell me about Liberty Gold. What do you have, and what do you have potential for?
So Liberty Gold is focused on developing oxide gold projects in the U.S., specifically in the Great Basin. We have two assets, Black Pine in southern Idaho and Gold Strike in southern Utah. Black Pine is our flagship asset and where the vast majority of our efforts are currently focused. And that's the one that where we completed a pre-feasibility study. We're now in feasibility study, driving that through development, which is that sort of middle period that you refer to in the Lassonde curve, to get us to a construction decision in 27, and then construction in 28, operations in 29. So we have migrated the company. The company's history is very much explore, discover, and then move on to another company to develop. Because of the quality of the Black Pine deposit, I joined the company 4 years ago because of Black Pine, and I've been in a sort of an internal discussion with the management team and with the board about really advertising that this is a company maker. This asset is a foundational asset for a new mining company, and we would be remiss if we let this opportunity go. The board have supported that, and they put me in the CEO seat in June, and Susie and I have been out in the market migrating the narrative about the company from this sort of exploration, discovery, tremendously successful discovery story. Now we're starting to be this successful development story, and that's going to move to a successful construction and then operation story.
Yeah, excellent. Okay, so tell me specifically, I'm looking for millions of ounces. What do you have in the ground in Idaho?
So Black Pine is a pre-feasibility resource. We have just under 5 million ounces in resource, and we have a reserve of just over 3.1 million ounces. Okay. So to give you a sense of that, that's a significant gold deposit in the U.S., there would be no other deposit of that size in oxide gold, which is that near surface expression of gold and the ability to mine it with leaching. There's no other asset that is not held in the hands of a major in the Great Basin at this time. So we're somewhat of a unicorn, and that 5 million ounces, you know, we have in an internal view about some significant upside growth potential for those five. When we do the feasibility resource, which is currently being estimated now and we plan to release in Q1, you're going to see some good growth in that number going into feasibility. And then we have a clear exploration strategy around the next 5 years, building those ounces and really pushing mine life out beyond the current studies.
Excellent. Okay, so John, I'm going to talk to all my viewers and listeners. To all my viewers and listeners, this is my own assessment. There is based on what I like to see majors, both major developers and producers look for. I like to see 5 million ounces in the ground, or more importantly, if they don't have it, a path to 5 million ounces at my minimum. The reason for that is that makes them, I'm not specifically talking about Liberty Gold, but that makes a company a big target, if you would, for a a merger and acquisition here. Liberty Gold has that, and they have actually a path to growth. As of right now, just short of 10 million, and I'd love to see a path to grow. I mean, who doesn't? The more gold, the better. A path to growth to 10 million. And I believe, again, only speaking for myself, a path to growth to 10 million ounces. Talk a little bit about, and then we'll go back to the mine building itself and where you're at, but talk about the Lassonde curve, John. And again, to all my viewers and listeners, I look for early stage exploration. I look for deep value in the Lassonde curve in the middle, if you would. I want to see value assets that are undervalued and then wonder why, or want to find out why they're undervalued. And then I look for companies coming right out of this Lassonde curve, preferably about 2 years out of the Lassonde curve. John, comment about all of that, if you would, where you're at specifically in the Lassonde curve, and you're coming up to 2 years. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. We're currently 2 years away from a construction decision, and a hair over 3 years from metal production, which will go pretty quick. Look, I really like the narrative about the Lassonde curve, in the sense of trying to understand where are the value opportunities in the business, particularly for your investors. And you know that curve, as everyone knows, it starts off with a hump, but there's then a drop, and then it kicks up. You know that if you get in an early explorer where they haven't had success, but there's a hint of something, and success then drives that huge value growth as an early explorer, that at some point when discovery and sort of, you know, resource growth slows, and you've got enough mineral in the ground to sort of start thinking about, well, is this a mine, that the value rolls over and we go down into that what's called the orphan period, where you get a reduction in value. The investors who are interested in that kind of excitement of a new company, new discovery, that's what kind of drives them. They come out of the stock and go and find another one, and you get this value sort of plateau, if you like, a U-shaped bit. And then as the valiant few, as Liberty, who choose to take an asset through that engineering piece, post discovery, through development, and then ultimately fund it and construct it, there's a value piece, and then there's a kick at the bottom, and then these assets and these companies track up that second slope, if you like, in the Lassonde curve, and the risks and opportunities are quite different in those two. And we represent an opportunity where we're at the bottom of the kick. I think you'll see from our share price, we've kicked. We're just in that early stage of a kick. And I think it's a really interesting time in the business where you have a similar investment outcome, but you have a very different risk profile from an explorer relative to a known asset with a known group developing a known deposit. So that's where we sit. We sit in that second phase, if you like, of the Lassonde curve.
Yes, you do. And I say that with clarity to all my viewers and listeners. I was talking to my friend Lobo Tigera, who's done a lot of studies. Basically, this is the biggest find, as he stated, in his career, if you would, is studying the Lassonde curve. And you guys are going right into the producer, if you would, from developer to producer within the Lassonde curve. Talk to me a little bit about, I was surprised when I've talked to you offline about how, I want to say the right word, but how I was just surprised how quickly you can have a mine built, if you would. Talk to me about that and the plan on that. And then number two is what's interesting to me, to talking to all my viewers and listeners. It's great to have options. Right now, the plan for John, and I don't want to speak for you, is to build a mine. But the plan, but you also have a lot of majors all around you that are watching you. I talked to John, to conversation with you. I talked to our friend Hugh Agro just recently, who is at the Idaho conference there. And he made a comment on record and with an interview that I did with him that Agnico has landed. So work that all out, which is music to my ears. So work all that all out for me, if you would.
So yeah, look, I think we're at a very interesting stage.
Yes, you are.
The reason we are where we are at is because the strategy of Liberty Gold, the strategy was to find gold in a jurisdiction that's favorable to mining, in a physical environment that is relative, that is previously disturbed, and carries a low environmental footprint when you develop it. And so that equation translates to previously mined oxide gold, near surface gold systems in the US, that you're able to pick up cheaply, discover, and then because they've been previously mined, they've got surface disturbance, typically because they're oxide golds, that you can treat them in this leaching process, a heap leach it's called, where you don't need to build a mill, you don't need to crush the rock, you don't need large amounts of water, you don't need large amounts of power, you don't build a tailings dam. It's a very simple, straightforward extraction process. The mining is the same, it's an open pit mine. And when you build a heap, it is literally just a pile of rock on top of an impermeable liner. And then you have and you have a small processing plant, literally a very small processing plant at the bottom of the heap that takes the solution that's dissolved the gold, extracts the gold, and then puts the solution back on the heap. The net result of that is, number one, as I said, a low environmental footprint. Number two, relatively straightforward in permitting because you don't have lots of degrees of freedom. And secondly, relatively easy to construct. And so we are targeting an operation that would, at the pre-feasibility, we were putting 50,000 tons of rock onto the heap every day. We think that will go up to about 65,000 tons a day onto the heap. And we think we can build that initial infrastructure, the initial heap, the processing plant, and the mine shop, and those three elements, that's it. That's all of what we need to build. We can build those in about 9 months. Yeah. So we're anticipating construction would start in March or early April 28, and we would have first metal production in December 28. So some nine months later.
Yeah. Okay. To all my viewers and listeners, that is music to my ears. And there's multiple reasons for that. But one of the questions I typically ask a CEO of a company that I'm interviewing is, where are you going to process the metal? Do you need to build a mill? Are you shipping it to a mill? What John just said, they're doing it. Correct me if I'm wrong, John, you're doing it on site. They don't need to build a mill because they're heat bleaching it. That's going to save about $350 to $500, $600 million. It's very economical and it's environmentally safe. Correct me if I'm wrong.
You're 100% correct. And the other thing, the other really interesting thing that I would encourage your investors to sort of think about, you know, we all think about the resource and how much metal's there and you know, and those sorts of, that sort of somewhat emotive piece. But the rubber really hits the road when you start talking water supply. Where's the water going to come from to process that material, whether it's in a mill or whether it's in a heap? And, you know, in my experience, and I've been in the business 40 years, I've built two mines. I've built a copper mine in Chile and a silver lead zinc mine in Argentina.
With who?
The copper mine in Chile was with BHP Billiton, Minera Escondida, and the mine in Argentina was with SSR Mining. So I've worked for the big guys and I've worked for the sort of mid tiers, and now I'm in a junior trying to do one myself, which is pretty exciting. But the water piece, you know, when your investors are trying to understand opportunity and risk for any given investment, always ask, where's the water coming from? Do you have the rights? What's the impact of the abstraction of that water? And do you think that's going to cause any social license problems and environmental problems? And we were really, really smart. And one of the great things that Liberty did as part of its strategy when it was an explorer-discoverer was not only did it find all this gold, but it also started very early on, pre-development, to figure out, how do I de-risk this? Where's the water coming from? Where are the people coming from? Is there power to the front gate? Do I need to buy some land around here, private lands that I can use for environmental mitigation? All those sorts of things that, from an explorer's point of view, they're not interesting, they're not sexy, that you can't really sell those in the market. But by heavens, the explorers that do that create an asset in the eyes of the majors that is way more valuable than the explorer that just drills a couple of holes and finds some gold. And yeah. we were, the strategy of Liberty was smart enough to do that. So we, and we've done that with water. We have a water supply adjacent to Black Pine. And we've purchased the water supply from local farmers. So the bottom line for us is that we will not, we'll be taking water that's currently being used out of production for agriculture, repurposing that for mining. And when we're done, that water right will go back and the water abstraction will carry on for farming. Key there, Andy, is we're not drawing new water out of any reservoir, any aquifer, the no net negative impact to water levels. And just that alone, I think, bought us a huge amount of goodwill with the local community in that we're not going to impact their water reservoirs. We're not going to have a negative impact on their business and their livelihood. In fact, if anything, it's likely that the aquifer will recover a little bit during our time with stewardship and managing the drawdown. So we're starting to be seen as a positive contributor to local communities. And I think once you get into that space, that's the key piece to allow you to get your, what they used to call social license to actually do something. Because you can't open a mine anywhere in the world if the local community is against it.
100%. 100%. Yeah, as simple as that. And I, again, I talked with companies really every single week, and that's probably the biggest obstacle. And I hate to say an obstacle, it's the biggest opportunity that companies have in working with each other, if you would, to get something done that is not only economical, but also safe and employs local communities. John, let's talk about this. I am not a geologist. I understand, well, the way you presented it, I understand just about everything, but I don't understand geology. I know what good grade is, and I know what millions of ounces are in the ground. But what I really look at, and to all my viewers, listeners, is share structure, cash in the bank. That means a lot to me, what's funded and what is not. Again, and then also I look at who also is on board, what partners or what investors you have. If you could name drop some of those people, tell me how much cash you have in the bank, and is this project fully funded for 26?
Of course I can, Andy. So I would direct your listeners to our Q3 financials. We published those day before yesterday on Monday. The bottom line is we are fully funded to a construction decision at the end of 27.
And the way two years out.
We're fully funded.
That's
fully
what
funded
I want
to
know.
Take
Fantastic.
All the way through.
Fantastic.
And the way we did that is we raised money earlier this year through equity from a raise in the markets. And we also, in the latter part of the year, brought in Centerra Gold as a strategic partner. They took a 9.9% stake in the company. And that money, together with the money from the raise, and together with warrants, we have 45-cent warrants due in 26 and in 27. And we have a final payment of the sale of our assets in Turkey. That money is due in October 26. With all of those funds together, we are fully funded to a construction decision in 27. So we don't have to go back to shareholders. No more dilution. If we want to just build Black Pine and take it, or develop Black Pine and take it through to that build. So that's a very strong position we find ourselves in, and we're very grateful and very honored to be to partner up with Centerra. You know, they're a very creditable, you know, mid-tier aspiring senior company, and we see it and they see it as a sort of as an endorsement of the quality of the asset, as an endorsement of the capacity of the asset. You know, what they're looking for is 200,000 ounce a year producer. And the feasibility study is going to show that we have that opportunity. So, yeah, you know, I think readers will see that as we, or investors will see that as we start to move through that process. In terms of other shareholders, this company has had long sticky money in it really since it started in sort of 16, 17. Centerra is the largest single shareholder, but the next one down just below them is Van Eck. Just below that, we have Franklin, then we have Merckx, and then we have RCF, Wheaton Precious Metals holds approximately 4% of the share register. They own the only royalty on Black Pine, which is a 0.5% royalty. And Liberty has a 50% buyback on that. So what that means is the pre-feasibility study was modeled with a 0.25% royalty only in the economics. Now, your readers may not appreciate that, but royalties are a very, very common sort of hang on to many, many gold deposits around the world, and particularly in the US. And that royalty burden generally would be 2 to 5%.
I've seen them as high as 7%.
Indeed. And that's real money, right? That's right off the bottom line.
The margin.
Cash flow straight out the door. Yep. Now, we only have 0.25%. That puts us in a unique opportunity for future funding or for value creation. You know, so I think that really singles us out. So we have Wheaton there. We also have sort of next tier down. We have Conwave, Amati, Commodity Capital. Insiders management and insiders are just under 4%. So we've got some significant skin in the game between the board, current management, and ex-management. Very supportive ex-management. They are, you know, I speak with them a lot, and they are in it for the long haul. So, you know, we know where we're going, and we've got significant support in our share base to do that.
Excellent. I need to say, I don't recall if I said this to all my viewers and listeners. As of this interview, I am not yet an investor. That more than likely will be changed over the next days and weeks. I do reserve that right. This is not an endorsement of any kind of Liberty Gold. Liberty Gold and John stand alone on that. Also, Liberty Gold has not paid for this interview. As of yet, they are not a sponsor to Natural Resource Stocks. Just full disclosure on anybody, on everybody. John, if I could take a moment just real quick to talk to all of my viewers and listeners. I look for, on the Lassonde curve, as we discussed, I look for early exploration. I look for deep value in the middle of this Lassonde curve, and I look for coming right out of the Lassonde curve. Those are just a few things that I look at. I also look for what proximity do they have, does a company have to majors as well as mid producers, and my evaluation of Liberty Gold is Liberty Gold, guys, Liberty Gold has options right now, and options are great. They can take this to a mine. If they take this to a mine, they're basically printing money. It only helps that they have mid-tiers producers, if you would, as investors, if you would. And I say that with all due respect, mid-tiers. Some could argue that they're major players. But they have, I mentioned previously in this conversation, that Agnico has landed. This is the kind of things that they look at. That is not saying that they will be bought or anything of that nature, but it puts Liberty Gold in a point of strength, in a position of strength. And again, it checks that box. That's what I like to see. John also surprised me somewhat. I asked if he has funding for 26. He has funding all the way out through 27. To all new people in this space, that basically means that's a huge deal. That basically means that they don't have to. They might, but they don't have to raise any more money, so you're not going to be diluted if they don't raise any money for the next couple of years, 2 years. Correct me if I'm wrong on that, John.
No, you're perfectly correct there, Andy. I mean, obviously, markets are open right now, as you're well aware. Prices are buoyant, metal prices are crazy, and you know, there's an old adage in the business which says if you could take money when you can. You know, we're mindful of that. We don't need it right now. You know, always having a bit more money in treasury helps. There's lots of things you can do, but we're being sort of fiscally prudent with shareholders' money. You know, if we do go back to market, it will be for a very, very specific and very good reason. And at the appropriate time, we would explain that. But in terms, as I said, in terms of the necessity to get the mechanics done through development to build it, we're good.
Okay, so on that note, yes, every company reserves the right to raise more money, and I would actually advocate it if the terms are right for the company. That all being said, you want to raise in a position of strength, is which Liberty Gold has. John, you need to run. You are full of meetings and all of that, but let's get your let me get your website and your ticker symbols and exchanges that you're traded on real quick, and I'll put all of this in the show notes, both on YouTube, the Apple Podcast, and Spotify.
Fantastic. Thanks, Andy. Yeah, the website is libertygold.ca. We're in the process, a sneak peek to your investors, we're in the process of doing a bit of a refresh on that website. It won't be coming out immediately, but certainly before the end of the year, you'll see a bit of a different image and a bit of a different positioning of the company given our transition. So very excited about that. The ticker, we're listed on the TSX main board, and the symbol is LGD. We're also listed on the OTCQX. So please encourage your readers to have a look at that. And obviously the website has all of the information on it. And again, they can reach out to myself, or there's an email on the website at info@libertygold.ca. And the other end of that, there will be an answer to any questions.
No problem. I'll put all of that in the show notes, both again on YouTube, Apple, and Spotify. Oh, real quick, should investors or potential investors expect a drip or more of news coming out over the next 6 to 12 months?
Oh, very definitely. I think, you know, we're in an exciting period. We didn't really talk very much about permitting. So we're in US federal permitting. And that process is going forward. We started it about in August 23. And we're in the final stages of the first part, which is called the mine plan of operations. We expect some news coming out of that in the next few weeks. Once we get through that, we go into a period where the clock starts. And so we've got a fixed period before we expect the outcome of those permits. So there'll be news flow around permitting. There'll be towards the early part of next year, there'll be a new resource released. You're going to see more news coming out on drill results from the 2025 resource growth program. We'll have metallurgical and engineering results. And as the engineering moves forward, we'll sort of progressively update the market on where that seems to be taking us. So look, I think a lot of really interesting news flow, some of it fairly technical. And we try to sort of present that in a way that's accessible to people. We recognize that. But it's a fascinating story. And that the story, to your point, the developer, what you need to do, everyone knows what you need to do to discover a gold mine. You find a bit of good ground, you drill some holes. But to actually build one is a story that isn't well told. And so we've sort of taken it on ourselves to sort of educate the market a bit on that process. It is complex and difficult and requires a lot of patience and time and effort. So it's a story I think that bears telling.
Yeah, absolutely. Would love to have you on again, John, real soon. I'd love to have that. But you need to go. And I just want to thank you so much for your time. Thank you so much for your graciousness. And again, I will more than likely, truth be told, be a buyer in the open market, just like any of my viewers and listeners. I am not as of yet. I don't want any benefit of this story getting out before you, any of my viewers and listeners, start buying. So I do that as a respect to them. Thank you, John. Love to have you on again soon. To all my viewers and listeners, absolutely check them out. This is one of those companies. Thank you.
Thanks so much, Andy. Pleasure to be on. Take care. All the best.
Take care.